Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us live if you're watching online. And everybody here at the Rare Drops Theater, thank you guys. And thank you for coming to Guardian Con supporting a great cause.
Make some noise if you're out there.
Yeah. Nice.
Joining me on the set, CJ Gibson, on my right, your left.
What's up?
Nice. Bring it
on
back.
On my left, your right, for Amir Bella.
Hey, Guardians.
And on today's show, we're going to be talking about a little bit about the news. We're going to do a fairly traditional show. We're going to talk about some of the quality of life changes that we heard about in the Game Informer coverage. We're going to talk about the new bounties that are coming up. And we're also going to rank the raids with everybody here in attendance. And we put some polls online, so if you want to vote,
there's still time.
Fran will be checking those. Where can people vote right now?
Yeah, check out youtube.com/fireteamchat. Mm-hmm. Go to the community section in your tabs on the app or on the page. But there's still time to vote. There's about 800 votes apiece between Destiny 1 and 2, so there's still time.
Definitely.
I think I know how this is going to go, but we'll save it to the end
sure.
of the show.
Crota's end.
yeah. Probably not.
So let's get right into it. So basically the Game Informer article came out, and we were talking last week, was it?
Yeah.
About lost sector changes and some ideas.
You were venting. I mean, let's just call
it
what it is.
Yeah, I was venting. Might have been venting a little bit.
Don't say the words.
Apparently they are reworking lost sectors and flashpoints. You're going to be able to do them bi-weekly.
Yep.
And there's going to be boss tier characters, six of them, in total that you can face. Basically, you're going to be chasing down the people from Prison of Elders and reining them back in or just killing them.
That's cool. Yeah, probably killing.
Six total, not in the new destinations, but in the other destinations. You just go, you track them down, you take them out. I really, really like this. What else do I have to know? Sectors are getting reworked. Outlaws, lost sectors will give you a higher tiered enemy. You'll be hunting down escapees from the Prison of Elders to have a new boss encounter per destination. This is great. This is an excellent addition, utilizing an area that I thought could have been buffed up a little bit.
Yeah,
they did it.
Yeah, you're right.
What do you got, Fran?
I was just going to say, it seemed like their goal was not to fix lost sectors necessarily so much as to fix flashpoints. They felt you were waiting around for Publix. Do you think that's what it was about?
Well, that's all it was. It was all public events. Right. They also added patrols into the mix. Mm-hmm. So you got patrols, you still got your public events, and now you have lost sectors that all contribute to your flashpoint percentage every week. And this is just great.
Yeah, I mean, well, because lost sectors were really cool looking, but there was nothing to do. Mm-hmm. Fight a boss, empty, you know, a treasure chest, that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
It felt like there was something missing. So this is really nice if they're going to add stuff like that to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think inevitably, it's funny that it still has all the same pieces that were sitting there. Mm-hmm. They're just giving you a little more credit. And, like, what I scanned for that was not there yet, for me at least, was what we still need answered. Well, what's the reward? Because I can already do my flashpoints.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Is it faster? Is it whatever? Like, sure, it is good that I can do things in between, but we saw that with faction rallies.
They talked about legendary or better rewards.
There you go.
I mean,
So you're saying if you opened it up and got two tokens in a blue, you would not be excited.
Right, that's congrats on your one token. Great.
But when you think about it.
And that's the thing, yeah.
Sorry, faction rallies, you could do all those things. And in fact, that was a very fast way to do it. Like Publix, patrols, and then get into a lost sector at about 4, and then reset your. I just lost the word for it. In fact,
renowned.
Yeah. Nice. But it'd be better to do 4. But that's all you were doing. But we'd have more of that too.
So this is good, right, guys? Everybody
digging? For me, the yellow bar enemy thing. I think do they say that there's going to be a little bit more variation to killing an enemy?
So based on the footage that we saw, it seemed like more of a puzzle thing. Like you got to take out the ads first, and then take out the main boss.
I'm excited about that because I think it just. Everybody usually wants a challenge with Destiny, and that was a problem, I think, with Destiny 1, is the challenge was just insane difficult, and then they kind of scaled it back completely. It feels like a nice balance.
And 9-player escalation protocol was not mentioned in any way. So hopefully they address matchmaking there, because I actually really like escalation protocol. I like the puzzle elements of those bosses.
Yeah.
And it would be great to just be able to do that with a full group.
Yep, for sure.
Like a raid.
Yep.
Right.
You're just going to pop that matchmaking right in there.
Yeah. additional quality of life changes. CJ, you brought this to my attention. We're going to be able to just go to whatever strike we want, because they're going to put them on the map.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What a revelation.
There it is. That's good.
Audience likes that. I like that.
Very happy.
We're all very, very happy.
You don't want to play the same strike again?
No, I want to go to the one I want to do and play that one again and again.
That's right. So who's actually played a lot of the new strikes and nightfalls and stuff like that and have gotten a lot of the new weapons that have been out? Are you guys grinding those? So it's
You got DFA, you got the shotgun, you got the Ikelios weapon.
Silicon Aroma. Yeah. So I actually have none of them, and I've grinded them about 20 or 30 times. I know. You have Fran. Fran has the worst life luck, but the best Destiny luck.
It's true.
It's unreal.
Lately, Destiny 1, I had a terrible time with. Fatebringer.
I got DFA,
my computer is leaking blue liquid all over my socks. True story that happened on stream.
But you got DFA.
Yeah. But I have the weapons. Were you getting at how crazy the grind is?
Well, yeah, I'm glad that part of the grind's back. So in this situation, I appreciate that you can now decide, hey, I don't have this, and then actually pick the one that you want to go. And I don't know if that's going to work if it's just Nightfall. So
I don't think it'll be that.
Yeah, who knows?
I think you'll have to wait for the cycle still. Just like EP, right?
Yeah.
You can't just go. In and get
I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping for. It'd be nice to be able to strike grind for like a specific weapon.
Maybe if they have new stuff, they'll let you go back now to those because there will be new strikes with maybe those will be the new focus.
Yeah, inside of the drops. But. Yeah. So
some of the other changes that we were going to talk about before we get into the viciousness of killing off some of the raids that we didn't like as much. No, I'm just kidding.
killing them off.
Bounties. So the senior design lead, Tyson Green, did say that bounties were originally removed to streamline the experience. They realized it was an overcorrection. I feel like we've heard that before.
Yep.
glad they realized it, though. New bounties obtained from a variety of vendors. I really like hearing that.
Yep.
And bounties expire if left uncompleted, acquiring cost a small amount of glimmer. Wait a minute. Part of the fun was stacking your bounties and then being able to address them when you had time. I don't really like the expiration mechanic. How do you feel?
I mean, I get why they're doing that, I think. And this, so you'll hear me say this. I feel like I say this kind of stuff all the time, and everybody's going, oh, yeah, there he is, defending galore. But no, like, I stacked bounties all the time, so I would sometimes have a horde of bounties. My last couple pages were all trials bounties, so I would stack up like 10 or 15 in a row and then do trials and complete them. I wish that was going to be back. So if they're expiring, does it say how long the expiry is? Are they like they expire per day or per week or the reset?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to figure that out as we get closer, but I haven't heard anything yet.
So I hope the expiry is not 24 hours on like daily bounties. I hope the expiry is maybe just, you know, a week. If that's the case, I think I'm fine with that, but I mean, I wish that there was an expiry date, actually.
I agree. Yeah, I don't understand, because part of the fun for me with bounties was figuring out which ones to pair together. Like, you could get do all melee damage, get kills on Mars, and also precision damage, precision headshots on Vex. You know, and then you can kind of work on all those in the same space or at the same time. But if they expire, it means you're not going to be able to mix them all up like that. Did you guys do stuff like that when you played?
Yeah.
So do you guys like that's going away or no?
Yeah, so hands up. Expire, are you excited that they're expiring because it makes you to do other things, or would you rather it not expire? Hands up, you want them to expire. Only two or three.
Yeah.
Hands up, you do not want them to expire.
Everybody else. Wow.
Everybody else.
I was going to ask, like,
there's about 100 in here, so.
I was going to say, you're not sure, but.
Small sample size, Bungie, but people don't want their bounties to expire. Please don't do that in the final code. Yeah. They don't watch. They listen.
By the way, I pulled up Rare Drop Co. on Twitch, yeah. So if you're in chat, I'll try to keep an eye on it.
We'll be checking. Questions from chat. We have this mic over here, too. So later on, there is a piece of tape over there. We'll do live questions after you guys decide which raid was the worst. And then,
stop that. I will say, I do like that bounties are back. I am excited about it. Because challenges, I did not feel like I connected with challenges. I didn't feel like I connected with them in PvP or PvE. Really do appreciate bounties are back, though, in general.
Yeah.
Tyson Green went on to say, we wanted to avoid the grab every bounty you see until your inventory is packed and sort them out later experience without constraining players to the tiny inventory they found in previous iterations of the game. That's my problem, though, and that's not really a complaint. I never heard that complaint before.
Well, I mean, that's the reason they did the upgrade of the bounty slots from year one to Taken King. I mean, so there must be a certain amount that you can carry them without knowing what that number is. If they're not divulging that, then... there's probably some reasoning there.
And then here's actually where they said legendary or better rewards. But I'm pretty sure that the...
Yeah, like that's the part that's not clear. I think it's like you ran into, I think it was last week or a few weeks ago, you're like, well, we don't know exactly how it works yet. It's a little hard to judge without knowing the reward system. But
just don't let them expire.
It scared
me.
I'll say that. I was like, wait, a constraint. Oh, no.
Yeah.
What's the... can you guys help me out? And I don't know if you can remember. What was the bounty that you did to get... Icebreaker in year three. It was like sun something.
Does anybody remember? I don't. What do you got?
Sundown missions where you have to get the Vanguard Nightfall.
Yeah.
Vanguard Sundown missions.
I think, well, it's usually the Fallen Saber, I think, or something. And then you would cash the bounty in.
Right.
Yeah, and wait for it to drop.
Yes. You would have to do the blue one from...
Yes.
Yeah,
in 30 minutes less.
Yeah.
I liked that. And those kind of bounties, if there's some bounties that have those kind of rewards
legendary
attached to
them. Legendary or better, maybe that's what they mean.
I'm game for that. Yeah. That's really good.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, so all in all, bounty system sounds great. It's good to be back. I think with Forsaken, we're getting to a place where we're really close to what Destiny 1 was. And if they do any expansions after Forsaken, well, they have the three from the annual pass.
It's just funny when you say that.
They're gonna
we're getting really close to Destiny 1 again.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
Let's be honest. We've talked about that a lot on the show.
Yeah.
And I think they've learned their lesson. Like, oh, maybe we shouldn't start back at the beginning and retroactively revert back to what the original game was.
Yeah, I mean, even the power weapons with, you know, three shotguns and stuff like that, that's cool. That is something that I was hoping for, a little bit of innovation like that. So I'm glad that, it wasn't like a, hey, we're just going back to the old D1 weapon system. I think it's going to be a lot of good things.
I really want to know what they're going to do with the mod system, because it's still bad.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything yet, but hopefully.
I think they said that they're going to take it away from being power level now. I don't think it's going to be power level dependent anymore, like increasing your level plus
five. I'd be happy about that.
You're actually too loud this time.
Whoa. Is that a thing? Does that happen? Yeah. Normally, Dustin's talking over me, so it's.
I'll work on it.
I don't even know.
What were you going to say, Fran? Anything?
I was just saying I agree. I don't want mods to have to deal with the power.
It's
confusing. Even playing after all this time, I'm like, why do I have to like keep looking?
Yeah, inside the mod.
Speaking of confusing, I was a little confused as to why they're getting rid of the prismatic matrix. Like, they're taking it away to rework it. I actually like the prismatic matrix. They did say they got some feedback that they want to address, and it's going on hiatus next week, coming back in Forsaken, made better, so it'll be relaunched in the next season, so this fall, right? I really like the prismatic matrix. Did you guys like the system?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Raise your hand if you did not like it. And it's fine. Like,
just a couple.
And if you liked it, raise your hand. Yeah, everybody liked it. It was kind of a cool way to get gear and get emotes and get ornaments for your weapons and armor. And it's why take it out? Why not just leave it in there and then launch with the new system?
I mean, so yeah, that's another good question. I think at least from a standpoint of even Bright Engrams and things, it took less focus off Eververse. Mm-hmm. So it was more of a, hey, I can do this. I get this thing. And then maybe I get a chance to get this other thing that I want. So if they have a better idea than that, great. Hopefully that comes into play.
I'm proud to say I've not spent a single cent at the Eververse. Fran, what were you going to say?
Oh.
Wait, I was talking about Prismatic Matrix.
Yeah,
can we answer that after?
Yeah.
Because it's a longer answer. Prismatic Matrix, my theory was that they're going to tweak the Eververse again, and that it's weird the way they presented it. We were talking about it at the house that we're staying in before we got here. Yeah. And it was sort of like, they presented it like it was always supposed to be limited time and scheduled. I was like, really? Yeah. I never got that sense.
I didn't. Yeah.
But now I get the sense as you track to Forsaken, they're saying, look, get this stuff now because it is going to change. And they're probably just going to ditch the system, I assume. Mm-hmm. Like, or maybe, yeah, make it very limited time. Mm-hmm. But I assume that's why. Like, we're all approaching a whole new world of weapons and items and, like, maybe they want there to be a little more rarity left on what's out there. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Maybe.
It's definitely weird.
Sure. Yeah. Any questions from chat? I see you looking over there.
How much money have you spent on microtransactions in any game whatsoever? Destiny 1 included?
I have not spent
Destiny 1. Either. You have the expense reports.
I have spent zero.
But he did it for work.
Oh,
$100.
The video.
And Fran does it for, what do you do it for, Fran?
Funtertainment.
There it is.
So I stream... And I did buy, get the booze, and hiss is ready, the Iron Banner emote.
Boo! I'm doing people a service.
I agree with you, and I would use it to say, not worth it.
Not worth it.
But I'd show it to you.
Just the emote.
And then you can dance with
I'm
it.
I'm never gambling again.
Honestly, I didn't think it was worth the price, but I honestly do buy some things in
did
Fortnite.
Did you just say you think it was worth the price?
It was not worth the price.
I wanted to hear that clearly.
See what they try to do. It's a shame campaign, these guys.
Yeah. So that is basically everything I want to talk about, get you guys caught up on the news. I myself have avoided a lot of the Game Informer former coverage because some of it got a little spoilery for me.
Yeah.
But really excited about the quality of life stuff they've been reporting on.
Yeah.
And they did a really fun video with the questions.
They did. Stephen Scott, yeah, that was a great video that they did. Yeah, the quick questions.
So now we're going to rank the raids, and we're going to do it with the help of chat. We're going to do help of the polls that we have over on youtube.com/fireteamchat. Did you do it on Twitter?
Nope.
Just YouTube.com/fireteamchat. Go to the community tab and vote, and we'll take those into account later. So basically, we are going to pick the list.
And maybe let's even talk about some of our favorite raid experiences leading up to it as well, too.
So here's how we typically do this on IGN. You have to put them on the list, but then something has to come off. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, or 8.
Mm-hmm. 7.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. Wow.
So, all right, CJ,
that is.
What is your number one?
So, I'm one of the few on the panel and in the office who has kids. 3 kids. And to me, it's kind of like ranking the raids is almost like picking your favorite child. You can't really do it.
You get one.
You get one. Okay, there you go.
You get to pick one favorite.
But there's something to be said about the first is always just special.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, Vogue will always be, I think, my favorite raid.
Vogue is on the list. Okay.
Mr. Nostalgia.
What do you got, Brad?
Vogue.
My number one.
Yeah.
This is actually, I've never been able to commit. I was thinking about it, and I would do this, and I would just go round and round and round we go.
Yes, they're all really good.
But I remember saying it kind of roundaboutly, and I'm going to commit to it now that I've played them all, you know, extensively. King's Fall. I really like King's Fall.
There you go.
I like it specifically because it is a little convoluted. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's like each encounter was special.
Yeah.
Where what they learned after that with Wrath and Fugitive, they kind of taught you some mechanics that you carry forward, which I do think is kind of smart. But there's something really special to me about King's Fall that I just – and it was some of the best times.
Yeah, so prime Destiny.
So we do this on Unlocked and Beyond, and what we do is we get to pick the ones, and then we put them all sort of on the list in an order.
So we got Vogue.
And then we get to move them once, and then you guys get to move them to any position that you want.
Yep.
So we're going to have a really wacky list by the end of it. I'll put Wrath on there, and number
That's
3.
That's your number one?
No.
No.
My number one's Vault
but
of Glass.
But you can't think the same thing we did.
I thought CJ was going to say Court of Zen. So.
Well, so for maybe some context, is it roughly like a second pick for you kind of is where you're going with that?
Wrath would be like third.
Oh.
Like, basically, the order is Vogue, King's Fall, Wrath of the Machine, and I think we're going to get into an argument about Vogue versus King's Fall at the end of the thing. But,
anyway, yeah.
All right, so let's just... We'll just
I will say this. I ran Crota the most, though, and everybody was like, well, maybe it's just because of the time at Destiny. It's obviously a little bit shorter, kind of like a strike. You can also solo it or do it with a group of two. How many here did it with 2 people? Gallahorn and you're – yeah, there you go. So that's the thing.
Crota.
Crota. I did that every day with Craig Barrett on. He's a former IGN editor.
Old school IGN.
All right. So working down the list, we have Vogue, King's Fall, Wrath of the Machine at number 3.
Yep.
Now, for number 4, does Crota, Leviathan, Eater, or Spire go there?
Crota. Wow.
Over the D1? Chat.
Wait, can you say that one more time?
So the remaining ones that we have not given a place are Crota, Leviathan, Eater of Worlds, and Spire of Stars, the 2 raid layers. So what goes in number 4? Crota over Leviathan, you're saying?
We're going to have to do a show of hands.
Yeah, a show of hands for Crota. Show of hands for Leviathan.
That's cool.
I think Leviathan just barely beat it out.
But it's like 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had
and you guys are going to get to ruin this list later, so don't worry.
Yeah. You can blow it up. Really, in chat before we did that vote, a lot of people saying original VOG. Nothing beats original Vault of Glass.
They're right.
But someone said Wrath was amazing and Wrath was pretty. So in fact, the people, DJ Vinny, Radiant Duke, Safe Cloud, thanks for chiming in on.
Here's what I like about Leviathan, though. I will say it felt like a nice departure of what all the raids were of Destiny 1. But over time, not digging it as much, like looking back. So it's a fun raid in the moment, but from like a repeat standpoint, replayable, I just don't think it's as good as the others.
Okay, so we have two left. We have Eater of Worlds and Spire of Stars. Ooh. So which one goes first?
I know what I
for the last two spots. Is Eater of Worlds better than Spire of Stars, or is Spire of Stars better than Eater of Worlds? So out of the two raid layers, who votes for Spire as their number one pick? I think I'll go Spire, and I'm in the wrong.
For voting.
And Eater of Worlds? All right.
There we
go. I actually really like Spire.
Yeah.
I thought Argos
is awesome.
I thought Argos was one of the best bosses, actually, almost of all time. If you could take a highlight reel of all the different bosses, encounters, and stuff like that of all the raids, Argos is probably, for me, like top three.
I love enemies that just stand there and do nothing, and then you shoot
No. It was – I love how anything I like, Destin just has a way to go, it's a combination of the teamwork that's involved and the fact that you're scaling this crazy beast, and there's like jumping involved, and
go ahead with your
well, there's a lot of people who actually like that as well.
I
really do think that Argos was a really cool mechanical boss because a lot of teamwork involved in it.
What's the current list again? Can you
so the list yes to go over it for everybody. Here's where we're at right now, and now we get to make switches, and then you guys get to ruin everything. So, Vault of Glass, number one. King's Fall, number two. Wrath of the Machine, number three. Leviathan, number four. Crota, number five. Eater, number six. And Spire of Stars, dead last. Worst raid you've ever played, Spire of Stars.
That's pretty good. That's what everybody's saying right now.
So, we get to make switches now. You get to move one somewhere else on the list if you want to. So, CJ, do you want to make any changes?
Yeah, this is the current list at the top. We don't have any visual aid.
But
so the audience is moving this, right?
Yeah.
CJ's doing it. We're going to do it first, and then they get to ruin our list if they disagree with us.
So Vault, King's Fall, Wrath, I believe, is the correct top three.
Okay. In that order?
In that order, actually.
Which is the current order.
Yeah.
So no changes from CJ.
I'm not sure if – you know what? I'm just going to do this to shake things up. I'm going to put Crota ahead of Leviathan only because of – I'm a nostalgia guy. You guys know that about me. That's my contribution to the
unplug
list
his Ethernet
here.
Cable.
Yeah, all right.
100%. We all did it. We all unplugged the Ethernet cable, and we all did the icebreaker glitch. Yes, we did.
I never unplugged my Ethernet cable.
Did you cheese heavy ammo?
For me, I'm like, why don't we just do it the right way? Yes.
Mr. White Lie over here.
Exactly. Forever 29, we all did that because you were not level 30.
Well, he would also drop a knee and it was broken. You just sort of were resorting to... Okay, so...
You going
to
move anything, Frank?
Currently, we have Vault of Glass, number one. King's Fall, number two. Wrath of the Machine, number three. Crota's End, number four. Leviathan, number five. Okay. Six, Eater of Worlds. And Spire of Stars at seven. Mm-hmm. Yep. I have to unseat the order a little bit here because, as already stated, King's Fall is better than Vault of Glass.
So that's fine.
Jeez.
So we're putting King's Fall at number one. Okay. Vault of Glass, absolutely. I love it, number two, both for nostalgia and design. And the drops, man. They were so good.
They were good.
Remember, you can only swap positions.
Is that what I did?
Yeah, you did it right.
I did it right.
Yeah.
What do you mean I can only swap?
No,
positions?
It's fine. Just move wherever.
Do
you
I
want.
Only get one? This is did I do it right?
This is off the cuff. Like, we
wait, did I do it right though?
You're fine.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Swap the first.
Just move you can normally only go one spot. Is that what you're saying?
I've only done this once on online.
Okay, it's fine.
But it's very just like
they're
going to
blow up the list anyway. Other than that, I mean, I would put Leviathan ahead of Crota.
You would.
But however you're doing your rigged list.
All right. So it's my turn.
Why don't you just tell us what the list is clearly?
I'm going to take King's Fall because it doesn't matter what Fran just did. I'm going to put it at the bottom.
No, okay.
What is happening?
This is your official opinion.
I'm going to put Spire of Stars at the top.
What is happening? What are you doing?
But this is your official opinion that is now on the record. So you're good with this?
Yes. Yes. Clearly, there's nothing weird going on here. And this is definitely my definitive list.
See?
So all here, a show, here's the order now. Spire of Stars, number one. That one guy agrees. Vault of Glass, number two. Wrath of the Machine, number three. Crota, Leviathan, Eater, and then King's Fall. What thing are you going to move first?
Jeez. So, breaking the system.
Foxrin in chat says, Guy is a moron.
All right.
Screenshotting that?
I know everybody wants to move King's Fall, so where are we going to put it? Do we put it in the number two spot where it belongs? I heard some number three spots. All right, who wants King's Fall in number one? Raise your hand.
Wow.
Okay, number two. I assume it's either Vogue or King's Fall. Can we agree on that in number one?
Yeah, that's normally how we narrow this down.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Wait, if you agree, it's Vogue or King's Fall at one and two. Raise your hand. Somewhere in there.
One or
some in there. Or
yeah, okay.
It's a lot. It's a big majority.
All right.
Okay.
So, how are we going to do this? Which one's number one? That's what we need to determine. What does our poll say? We need our poll, friend.
Yeah, let's take a few notes from the poll. Now, we did have to split this up because no poll, apparently, on social supports that you can have seven entries, which I think is ridiculous.
The Spire thing was a joke. I'm just going to move it back.
No, I'm just going to take a screenshot of
it. All right, now.
That's great.
See, good job, Foxrin. You're really Fox, yeah.
Well, they're going to move.
That's awesome.
But just so you guys know, checking in on YouTube, let me make sure to refresh the latest data. So,
what is your number one, according to YouTube?
What is your favorite Destiny 1 raid? They said Vault of Glass at 41%. King's Fall, number two, at 33%. So those were the top two, King's Fall and Vault of Glass. By a big margin, Wrath was only 19%, and Crota's End only 7% of the vote. That is about 1,000 votes on, again, Fireteam Chat YouTube. And then for Destiny 2.
Everybody hates Spire.
Leviathan was overwhelmingly the biggest one at 53%.
Yeah.
Eater Worlds, 35%. Spire of Stars in third at 12%. I have a theory on that, which is I don't know how many people played the other ones. That could also factor into it. I should have put in I didn't play all of them. But that would – whatever. Yeah, it would ruin the amount of votes. But it's tough. Making polls is tough.
So that kind of puts things into a new perspective. I'm going to take this into account. I need to see the results there.
The percentages? Really
quick. Yeah, if you could show me the –
So then I think we should do a top three.
Once we narrow it down. So again, since it's split, you have Vault of Glass at number one and King's Fall at number two for Destiny 1. Yeah. So even at number one is Leviathan, and you got to kind of decode.
Yeah.
We didn't have a vote between
I'm
the
just
two.
Doing my best here. Where did Wrath fall? Wrath was
third place on Destiny 1.
Okay, so based on the very official math I just did in my head, here's the list. The YouTube polls have corrected it to be the following: Vault of Glass, King's Fall, Leviathan, Wrath of the Machine, Eater of Worlds, Crota, and then Spire at the Dead Bottom. Is Spire the worst raid?
No, come on.
Out of all of them, you have to.
Well, what is the worst? That's a really good question.
What is the worst raid?
Thank you. See, I always it the least, and Destin goes, it's the worst. Yeah. It's like that's a different connotation.
He says, which do
you
hate
like
the most?
Yeah. Which raid did you hate? Which raid do you?
You hate.
Never exist.
So, guys, guess what? Based on this, you hate Vault of Glass the least. Yeah.
Exactly. No, but
that's
actually out of curiosity, we'll start with you, tough guy.
What's my least favorite
raid? No, I just want to clear the air in the room. Do you hate any of the raids? Or do you think any of them are bad quality? I mean, be honest. Like, that they're not – or not good. Let's use that word. That's not good.
So here's the thing. Let's talk real quick.
So at least we think they're all good.
Hang on. Let's go through what is your favorite thing?
This
is just like the real show.
Things. Yeah.
Can you hear me for a second?
What?
Let's talk real quick about some of your favorite things in each raid.
Whatever.
And then what do you not like in a specific thing you don't like about a raid? So it gives you a chance to hate on something, Destin.
That's a lot of material.
Well, I mean, so raids are sort of interesting experiences. You spend hours and hours and hours with a close group. Well, sometimes you're not close by the end of it.
Your enemies.
But with just a group of people, right? And you're with those six people usually through the whole experience. Sometimes, if you're doing it on launch day, it can get a little heated, but your bonds of friendship become a little closer. So there's unique aspects to each of these. I have memories of raiding with different groups for each of the raids. Aspire Stars, I've been playing with this guy, Timothys, and he'll be very happy that I actually said his name on the show for once. Vault of Glass, I used to play with a random group of people who aren't really into Destiny anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm totally blanking on the names, but like we actually did Vault Flawless before Crota came out, and we did it that way, the hardest raid to do the Flawless run on. And then King's Fall was just sort of a fun experience. And
Does anything stand out as sort of like the obvious best and worst?
I can say a worst.
It's tough for me to say which one is the worst. Going back and playing Crota, I'm just kind of like, eh.
Oh, I got so many fond memories of Crota. I think it's where I was with Destiny.
But if you go back and play it today.
I still think it's fun, but it's a nostalgia feeling. Play? Yeah, it's a nostalgia feeling.
It's a cool style.
Yeah. Here, I can go. I can say that absolute worst still. Do not like dogs at Leviathan. Like, I didn't like them the first time. Don't like them now. There's just something about it that's frustrating. There's not a lot of, like, direction and mechanics of what you're supposed to do and all that stuff. And it's just – it's fine now that I know, but in the moment when we were doing it, it was super frustrating. I'm trying to think
of I can play off that, which is you're hitting on what – mine was a little more broad, which is I really like the puzzle stuff in Leviathan, all this stuff. Yes. I kind of asked for it. I was like, oh, cool, you know, really neat that they played with stuff. But it lacks these bosses, and that's what I liked so much about King's Fall. So that's what I saw. But I really liked a lot about Leviathan and the style and the scope. But then I was like, where are the bosses? And that's why I don't like dogs. I was like, just let's get on with it.
Yeah. It's like puzzle. There's one where there's literally nothing you fight except red bars. You fight – oh, and then the orange bars come out, and then you stand on the platforms for Gauntlet. Yeah, that's a really good point. They're all puzzle based, and a lot of people don't like that. I think they went too puzzle based. They should have.
Yeah, it was too much leading up to Kalos, I think.
All right,
Kalos is fun though.
So to ask everybody out here for a second, remember the list is Vault of Glass, King's Fall, Leviathan, Wrath of the Machine, Eater World, Crota, Spire. Who wants to move Leviathan from the third place slot, and what does it need to be replaced with? Let me know. Raise your hand if you want to move Leviathan, or you think it's good in spot three.
Raise your hand if you want to move it.
Yeah.
Okay, so people want to move it. Where to?
Don't like it in three.
Yeah, so where does it go? Number four. Number five. Number six.
So four or five.
All right, so we'll move it down. You guys are going to unseat its place from number three. We're going to move it. So now the new order will be Vault, King's Fall, Wrath of the Machine, Eater of Worlds, and then Leviathan below Eater. Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay.
Yeah.
And then Crota and Spire. All right. That's the list.
Yeah. Should we take a quick comment on the current status of the list?
Like the status of the list is Vault of Glass, King's Fall, Wrath of the Machine, Eater of Worlds, Leviathan, Crota, Spire. Does anybody want to say anything about that?
That's what I was thinking.
We do have the mic set up. So go ahead, line up behind the piece of tape. We're also going to do questions. So we'll line up for raid stuff first.
Tape.
And then right after that, there's a black piece of tape right there. And then we'll take questions one at a time about the raids, and you guys can kind of say your piece. That's fine. Just it doesn't matter, guys. None of this matters.
Yeah.
Anyway, you first. Go ahead. Step up to the mic one at a time, and tell us what you think. All right. So what did we get wrong?
I wonder the lack of popularity of Spire Stars means that not a lot of people got to 370 or 375 or 380 to do it properly with an effective team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
That's a good point.
In this room. Not a lot of people seem to like it. But online, also not a lot of people seem to like it. You guys seem like Destiny fans. How many of you guys played it? Let's see, show hands. Not a lot of people got that far. That's really, really interesting.
It's a big grind.
Now, is that, I was going to say, it's the grind.
I almost died. No, I didn't really almost die.
You had to do it in a week.
How many people are at max power right now? Okay, so only barely a third. Yeah, but I mean, so right there, like that was one of the raids that like had a cap. Like I tried it day one as well. You could not beat this one.
That's a really good point.
You could be 380 and above.
Yeah, and we're only like about a month after that raid launched. So I mean, we'll keep that in consideration as well.
Points about the raids. What do you got?
So CJ was talking about individual encounters, like the dogs. You said you didn't like the dogs. I don't like the jumping puzzle at the beginning of Eater of Worlds. I think that's the worst experience of all of Destiny raids. So
what? Standing on a platform? Wait.
With
you got to go
back. With your team, you can't even like solo through it. You have to wait for each person to jump and leapfrog. It just seems like a pointless experience after the first time.
Would you move Eater below Leviathan then? like as an overall experience?
Yeah, I would. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying about a lot of Destiny 1 raids. It's like, I think the Destiny 2 raids are a departure in that they needed to do something different. But when you play through them the first time and you figure it out because there's less information to know what you're doing, I don't think it holds up over time. Once you know what's happening,
Good point. Yeah. A few more raid critiques.
Hey, I'll go well on SOS, guys, on Aspire.
Hey.
I think because a lot of people haven't played it out there and they've struggled with the cap.
Yeah.
I think that's probably why it's not up the list.
Yeah, I think
maybe.
So too.
And I think it would be fourth place if a lot of people have experienced it and got it.
I love it.
The mechanics and everything else and working together, and that's what I liked about King's Fall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it took away the God Guardian.
Yeah.
Crota running through on their own. And that was my experience with it. You sort of played. Mm-hmm. As a team and a unit, and I think that's what I love about the raid. It's a six-man thing, and I think that's what it's
Yeah, yeah, it opens up. You got to throw this ball around in a circle. Thank you. Thank you so much for saying something. Yeah, I totally agree with the point that he made. You can go ahead to the mic. That you should experience it because it's really, really fun. Everybody's doing something in beating to unlock it. Then there is sort of like a mechanical puzzle of getting from point A to the final boss. Then you fight the pre-final boss with the throwing the bombs, and then you fight the final boss.
And some of that, I think, was because of Crota. It's like you could two-man Crota or solo Crota. So a lot of these decisions, I think, probably that they made moving forward was, making sure there was things that you had to have all six people.
And then when you get really good, you shotgun the final boss.
In one
and
phase.
That is such an amazing feeling. What do you got?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
So I feel like, you know, with just any kind of Cabal raids, when we're talking about Destiny 1, when we're like, oh, what's a Cabal raid? We're going to be like, oh, God, this is going to be so tanky and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we have all these mechanical-driven things, and it's just kind of like, oh, where's the bosses that we were fighting all of Destiny 1?
Yeah.
So I think a little bit maybe it's like maybe just we were let down by it, but we really didn't know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are you okay with Vault being number one?
Oh, yeah. Like, that was my first raid ever. Like, I went from, like, Call of Duty, Battlefield 1, like, you know, I'm pro MLG to like, oh, that does not matter.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, that's what it was for me.
Teamwork, right?
Yeah, it was like, who were obviously big Halo players and stuff like that here? Raise your hands. Yeah, a lot of those Halo players.
Yeah, me too.
That was, you know, when you played Halo multiplayer and then you came into this, like, I actually don't even think I did VOG for the first month plus because I was just, like, playing Crucible all the time. So, for me too, same thing.
What you got?
What's your favorite moment in a raid when you're doing it the first time? Mine would be like,
oh, the first time?
Yeah, so the Wrath Machine when you're going down that really long stretch
of stairs. Oh, the like, end. That was really good. Yeah. That was awesome.
Beautiful. Like the reveal of the big red room. That's a really good one.
Yeah, that was
very,
really
very
good.
Iconic.
Ooh, I need a second. Yeah, you guys go if you can think of it.
The first time, probably the jumping puzzle in Vault of Glass.
Yeah, with the disappearing platforms.
Yeah, that was really fun. And then once you got it, watching other people do it. My favorite moment ever, though, was on the Flawless run when I did the jump where the platforms were disappearing, and I was a warlock. And like warlocks are a little floaty. I hit that piece of geometry, so like the geometry almost, you know, knocked me off the ledge, and that was like, no! My whole team came here and go, oh no!
Ah! Yeah.
And like I'm bouncing around and somehow I managed to land. I'm like, oh thank God. And everybody like, you could hear them like relieved that I didn't die. It had happened two times already. And we were at that point where like, I don't know if I have another run in me.
That little how many pixels of that ledge in Bog.
I know the stone. I know the stone. Like, that almost killed me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The Helmet Fire, long time listener. Yeah. Love you guys' show.
Forgot to do
so. Number one for me would definitely be King's Fall. Especially, I think the most fun we had for us in our groups was the room with the wall pistons that would just into the wall, and literally we would
phallic.
Like, wait for
the non-phallic wall pistons.
We wait for a guy to shoulder charge somebody into the piston, so they purposely knock him. But the last question I have for you guys is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was a misclassification on the list. I thought Crota's End was a strike.
Okay.
Come on. Nice.
All right. Well, Eater World is just as short.
Now that you've had a second, what was your favorite memory?
It is. So I was going to say, it's funny because people do say that about Crota's End a lot. Mm-hmm. My favorite moment, I think, in all of them, I think, is from Crota's End, and that's probably some of the reason. The entrance leading into the Dark Below is actually probably one of my favorites. Jumping down there. Yeah. Coordinating with your team, You're all kind of – I remember explaining it to somebody the first time. All right, there's a bunch of lanterns. There's a bunch of thrall. Just follow me. Yeah. Are you a hunter? No. So like, what do I do? Oh, gosh. And they're dying because they're trying to shoot some stuff. But I do love that intro moment in the dark in Crota's End. That's probably one of the most iconic moments for me, actually. Exactly, and the stress of being a sword bearer.
You get that one last swing in.
Arkstrider, man. That last, like, melee in Crota and sitting there invisible going, shoot him, guys, come on!
No, it's 1-2 super, one, maybe another one, then you get the hell out of there. Yeah.
It was fun, but that was one of my favorite moments.
Fran, do you have a memory?
Folks named all the good stuff. I mean, Wrath, absolutely, walking into that room, the big red room with the pyramid and the tech, and where we later solved this incredible puzzle. Mm-hmm. But I also earned the hard shaders, and when I went in that room and wore the shaders for the first time, and it all looked amazing with my warlock, oh, it was, like, unbelievable. So I loved that. The style of Wrath is sort of unbeatable, I think. Yeah. But other than that, actually, it was beating orcs. Like, the number of, like, claps and deaths and phantom realms. And, like, it took a while. And the different strategies.
He's slamming. Platform one on. Yeah. Platform two.
But different strategies with ogres and titans up on towers and stuff. It really was – it's just so enjoyable. So
What was the guy, the knight called, that would eat the orbs? What do we call them? Blight eaters.
I was going to say orb eaters. It was that simple. Yeah, blight eaters.
So we changed the list because he said Kingsfall should be number one. So it's Kingsfall, Vog, Wrath, Eater, Leviathan, Crota Spire.
Yes.
What? You got, sir? Pretty good.
Yeah, I would do Leviathan above Eater because I've gotten to where my clan and I, we like carrying people through Leviathan, and it's gotten really fun to just like get two or three people, bring them in, especially if they're new. Explain it to them. It's a raid that you can – it's challenging, but it's not too challenging when you can't help people get through it. And
moved.
I really like doing that.
Yeah, you got it. I totally agree. Yeah. I actually have been playing on PC LFG because it's hard for us at IGN to coordinate all our schedules to play together. And when I was doing the review, I wanted to grind my levels to be able to do the raid on day one. And PC LFG was fantastic. I met a lot of really, really cool people just using that. And
I wish it was better. It could be better, but it's getting there.
I do like the moment in the Kallus fight where when we first did it. Actually, I played with Steven. Steven's actually on the show now. I did a lot of raids and played Trials with Steven for many years. We were ranked, I think, top 60 or something like that the first time we did it. I'm just going to drop that out there. I'll just
kidding. Well, like he forgot. He has it, like, screenshotted on his laptop. I think we were, like... We were definitely ranked.
Like, if you translate
like
before
that,
everyone else played it, they were in the lead, and then everybody else played, and they really dropped.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's 60th place. But that moment when you figured it out, actually, that everybody was seeing something different on their screens, I thought that was really cool. Yeah. Like, figuring that out and having the dialogue where you're like, oh, what's going on? You know, I'm seeing this. Are you seeing that?
Chalice another cool. Dogs.
Yeah, Chalice Dogs and Sun. Yeah.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
Up next, we're gonna do a few more stuff about raids, then we can – do you guys want to do general questions?
Yeah. All right. Well, we still have to do the final, right?
Which we got would take final the votes. So now it's Kingsfall, Vog, Wrath, Leviathan, Eater, Crota, Spire.
But don't we normally take one final? I mean, you let people do
We'll
do
one final
audience vote.
Yes.
Obviously, Kingsfall is the best raid, but secondly, I'm just here to actually defend Crota.
All right.
Because you can
the strike
Crota. No, it's a raid.
thank you. You can
Crota no matter how many people you have. Say if you don't get enough people to play at that certain time, one or two people come in, and the story missions actually led up to the raid.
Yes,
which was the first one to do that.
Yes,
before Kingsfall.
That's a good point.
That is a really good
Baldur Glass. I mean, we didn't know who Atheon was before the raid.
So. Yeah. So I think we've also talked about that a number of times on the show with Crota and then also with Oryx, that I think that's some of the reason why we feel attached to those raids. And it sounds like they're going to do that a little bit more in Forsaken. They're, you know, the things that you're doing are going to lead up to the raid, and then ultimately the raid boss will potentially be something that you're invested into killing. So, that's a good point.
I have to follow up with you. So the order right now is Kingsfall, Vault of Glass, Wrath, Leviathan, Eater, Crota, Spire. Would you move Crota's End?
Honestly, for me, I mean, I'm in a minority, but it's number two for me just because of the experiences like soloing it for my Flawless Raider and just my girlfriend Gundam Rose is back there.
Yeah,
shout out to his girlfriend.
That's right.
We would just the two of us would do it, and of course we had the Gjallarhorn.
Did you guys meet playing Destiny or no? You were...
We met on Twitter, but we got very close.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, I sensed that when you were talking about it. I was like, okay.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you for the feedback about Crota. That's a good point. What do you got, sir?
So when you guys were talking about Lost Sectors, you mentioned you specifically mentioned that it was the reward that you wanted to see changed up because that's what was most impactful. So we've been seeing the Vault of Glass and King's Fall are like our number two based on just loot.
Oh, I know.
Which one wins?
Yeah, I know.
Just the loot?
Yeah.
So Vogue had Vision of Confluence. You could get the Galahorn Vogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, exclusive loot only, but...
Yeah. Fatebringer, all the legendaries.
I know you mentioned Galahorn.
Vision of Confluence.
Praetorian Foil, my Fusion Rifle fans.
Yeah. The armor sets were dope.
They were really good.
Yeah.
Hunter Cloak.
Yeah,
I think Vogue is very hard to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loot-wise.
Yeah, Crota had decent weapons.
Who liked the bug-infected-looking armor from King's Fall? Anybody?
I like that. Yeah. I love Yasmin, man. I love the finds of Yasmin. Yeah.
Dude, wait. That was, you like the sniper?
You said King's Fall, right?
Yeah, yeah. The King's Fall loot was all like a... Dude, Hive Thieves.
Yeah, Defiance of Yasmin is awesome.
Zahuli's Bane.
Quillum's, man. That was the best machine gun, probably. Yeah.
Hard to beat Fatebringer, honestly. Like, Fatebringer was such a fantastic hand cannon.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I just want to disagree with the previous caller. I think that Crota's end should be at the bottom of the list because of how buggy the Crota encounter is.
What at the bottom?
Because it was buggy at the time.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Well, what do you mean? Like, specifically, name a bug.
A lot
that
of runs ruined because the sword would disappear before you could pick it up.
Oh my god. I forgot about
Frodo
that.
Would chase you into the safe area.
And hit you.
Yeah.
It was the single most buggy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then think about even the time when you're walking this way, and then has the Crota ever disappeared, and then he was on the other side?
When he showed up in the room.
I think so.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I was in Canada before. Love you, Canada.
Cool. Good point. I moved it. So Crota's at the end. Spire's one above it.
Don't agree with that. But.
So, I mean, that's one of those sort of finicky takes, I think. What do you got?
Hello.
I see.
He was.
Part of Crota's end where you run through the beginning is, like, my favorite encounter of all the raids I've played.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The list is fine how it is, but have you ever gotten to the end? Like, what's the worst... like, person you had, like, did you have one person left at the end and get through, and they're, like, running through, like, crouching to go invisible to get across the bridge before getting killed? And have you ever been
there? Oh, with swords on Crota?
No, like, the beginning, the dark room. Like, did it ever get down to where you're defending the last thing, and it's, like, one person? And
all the time.
Well, I mean, by the end of it, you had the glitch where you could just, well, not glitch, you could just go invis, and, like, one person's like, I'll just finish the intro.
Do you remember when we did that with DCP? That was me.
Oh,
I was the hunter
we
guy.
Did a competition with them.
I survived.
We lost by, like, a point.
Yeah, and I jumped across the bridge. It was, like, the last guy standing walking through. There's moments that are neat, but, yeah, you're right. I mean, Crota at last, though? I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Two more. And then we'll finalize the list.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if chat has any changes.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions.
So I would put King's Fall as number one. I was a Tekken tot, that was the first raid I ever played.
Got it.
But honestly, I would put Prison of Elders ahead of all of the raids in Destiny 2.
We talked about this.
I really don't like the death penalty in Destiny 1.
Can we turn off his mic? Sorry.
I really don't like the death penalty in Destiny 1.
Yeah.
How you have, like, the revive tokens. You can't have, like, you know, you can't clutch with four people like you used to be able to.
Yeah.
And I missed when hard mode raids were actually worth something.
Yeah.
Gear that actually mattered.
Dropped. Yeah.
No, that's a really good point.
I would put PoE ahead of all of the D2 raids.
All right. Well, I can't do that, but King's Fall is number one, so thank you. And last.
You get one more person, then I got to tell a quick Prison of Elders story.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. I'll keep this short. I'm going to go ahead and say Crota was the worst raid.
It's there at the end.
Pre-rework, because we've had no other raids that were reworked as much as Crota was during the moments of triumph.
That
raid was straight garbage when it released in Dark Below.
Because of the technical issues.
Technical issues, overall mechanics. I mean, half the time, I don't think we ever did a legit run getting across the bridge.
No,
everyone, it was, hey, everyone wipe, I'm going to get across, okay, we're going to, you know, res ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't think I did it either almost the first year until after King's Fall, because it was either, hey, I got Bones of A, I'm going to jump across the bridge with the sword, or you got to, like, have Warlocks, and do the resing, and let's jump up top and then snipe all the enemies.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. Like, I did those things,
If we're talking post-patch, though, I would say number two.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah,
they jumped, so
it's a pretty big jump for me.
Yeah.
Well, on the bridge, you had to get four people across, and two people would just chill and, you know, kill the thrall or whatever, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
even you're right, even the rework when they did it, like grabbing all those swords at the end and smashing all the enemies before you're heading into the Shrieker area, like that was actually really cool.
I'll go ahead and keep it on dead last.
No, that's two. You swapped it to two.
So it just comes down to what, are we talking pre-patch or post-patch?
There's the asterisk there.
Yeah, that's the asterisk.
You have to talk post-patch inevitably because that's what it is.
That's the final one. Yeah, if that's the case, we're talking post-patch, number two.
Like this guy.
Crota number two.
Well, chat's just going to... I'll leave it. It's
called Crota's End for a reason, so let's leave it at the end.
All right. Man, so much hate.
I tried.
All right, so in here, and then this is what we ended up with. King's Fall, Crota. Vault of Glass, Wrath of the Machine, Leviathan Eater, Spire of Stars, and then Crota's actually dead last.
So top Crota. For King's Fall, Crota, Vault, Wrath.
Yeah.
King's
Leviathan,
Fall, Crota,
Eater,
Vault.
Spire.
Real quick, but just in intermission here while we're thinking about this final list, somebody did mention the Prison of Elders.
So Prison of Elders, number one.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
what's your Prison of Elders memory that you want to
say? Skolas was actually a pretty fun boss.
Yeah.
It was something.
It was pretty grindy. Before I started working at IGN, like many, I don't know, how many of you have played with Destin or I or any?
Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Good. Yeah, good job.
I get a little angry when I play video games.
Don't know if you've noticed that about Destin. So Destin and I played, I think it was, Skolas, when it was Arcburn.
Ooh.
That was a mistake.
I didn't think we were going to be friends.
I didn't think we were going to be friends anymore after. There was a time where we tried two or three times and we finally killed Skolas, but then all the, I think it was the shanks, and stuff killed us. It was when he meleeed us and then Destin was like, I'm out! And I'm like, Destin? And then he was just rage quit. And I don't think I talked to Destin for about 3 months after that.
I was so mad because we kept dying for like...
It was crazy.
Dumb reasons. Like we get one hit deaths and it was not
I love him now. Yeah. We're good. Skolas was a fun raid. Boss. Not a raid, but he was a very good boss.
I remember. Any final notes?
No changes on the YouTube poll. So.
All right. Okay. So, that is the final list. I'll open it up real quick. I'll just say, if anybody has any questions, we have about 10 more minutes to fill. So
this is the final list? Wait,
this
what?
Is the list. Yeah.
I thought we're doing the final unseating moment.
Love
the
wild card with Krogan there at second magically.
All right.
That was great.
But meaning we give the audience one last chance to unseat the top.
All right.
That's how it works normally.
Brent. All right. All right, everybody. Here's the list. King's Fall. All right,
show
of
hands, show
King's
of
Fall.
Hands.
That was King's Fall. Okay. We'll do clapping, I guess, because it's an audio show, right? Vault of Glass for... All right. So that's for number one or number two?
Two.
All right, let's try this again.
Hands up for Vogue.
Right.
Hands.
King's Fall at number one, hands. Vault of Glass at number one, hands. Oh, man, that's, like, even.
It's
no,
it was
close,
not.
Man. No.
You have a
They're
totally
just spread out
hands.
More.
One guy's got two hands up.
then you got to do it again. We have to know which is in
All right,
two.
King's Fall for number one?
We might have to count
one,
these.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, cheater, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 25. All right, Vault of Glass. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh,
27, 28,
20, really?
30.
Yeah.
Vault, 30.
There it is.
Yeah. Stragglers
the
coming
right
at the
way.
End, ruining everything.
All right.
Yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
Very look how close that is, though. So it means we're
awesome.
On to something.
Yeah. All right, so Vault of Glass, number one. King's Fall is number two. We've settled that. Number three, Crota. Who thinks Crota should be at number three? It's gone.
There's like, wait, there were three hands in the room.
Yeah. I think Wrath is
Who
probably
thinks Wrath this. Should be number three? So it comes down.
Yes.
It comes down to either Wrath or Leviathan at number three. Does everybody agree with that? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying.
Okay. So number three. Let's see hands for Wrath.
Yeah.
Number
You're
three.
Voting against Leviathan.
Probably about like 50, 40.
Number three. Who thinks Leviathan should be at number three? Nobody.
No.
All right.
Also, two or three.
We got
Leviathan with? Number four. One person for Leviathan at number four.
What's four?
Wow.
Crota. Wow.
Right.
Crota, number four. Raise your hands.
What?
That,
really?
Dude, look at that.
Wow, we unseated Leviathan
before.
That
first list that we had, man.
All right, we have Leviathan, Eater, and Spire left. So Leviathan at number 5.
Yep. All right.
All right, Leviathan at number, just for fun, Leviathan at number 6?
No.
No, okay. So then Eater or Spire at number 6?
Eater.
Eater? All right, hands for Eater of Worlds at number 6?
Yeah.
Hands for Spire of Stars at number 6. All right, so we have our definitive list. That's definitely scientific.
That was my list.
I like the look of this. Let's just go over it.
Vault of Glass is the best raid that Bungie has ever created.
Absolutely.
You can't beat the first one.
Absolutely.
King's Fall. Yes. Good job, Luke Smith, because you came in at number 2.
Yes.
And Mark.
Wrath of the Machine, coming from some people that are working on Forsaken now, including Scott.
Scott
Wrath
Taylor.
Of the Machine.
Best team.
Congrats. That is our number 3 entry. Crotozen, I have no idea who made Crotozen. Coming in at number 4 with a surprise. People not so hot on Leviathan, but they still like it at number 5. Eater of Worlds, number 6. And Spire of Stars, mostly because people haven't played it, dead last.
Yeah.
I still love that red, though. This was very, very fun.
Point.
Chat, what is chat saying? Destin's so handsome and really good at
not too active. There was a lot of VOG votes. So
he's definitely not
nice
paid off.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah.
I think that's the right way. So that, let's do a couple A or B tests real quick. We got like 5 minutes before we can wrap it up. Do you want to do a few of these?
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to do a couple more polls here. Random rolls versus static rolls.
Now that we've had static rolls, the answer is easy.
So,
who likes static rolls? 2 people. 3 people.
I like some of the qualities, but...
Random rolls.
Random rolls?
Oh, wow. Boom. Look, the whole room except for those 3.
There it is. No, I mean, dude, this is... I'm intrigued because a lot of times, there's some people who say, you know what? I like what they did with Destiny 2 PvP, and I don't want random rolls introduced. Like, I read a lot of the YouTube comments. I see that stuff. So I do want to do these kind of surveys to see what people think.
But, yes, this is why we keep the show half an hour. Yeah.
Safe cloud, hazard in chat.
It just goes off the rails.
Yeah, it's all right.
A few people chimed in and said random.
Yeah. You know, okay.
Random?
Seems like
random.
Obvious.
Yeah. But all so right. that I'm excited for.
What other
for.
AB do you have?
Oh, I have a couple others. So 2 primaries and a power, or
what
Forsaken will be where the random slots for everybody. So with weapons like shotguns and
nobody's
primary, secondary.
It,
no, well, so who's played Gambit here? Some people have played Gambit. So who's excited about the new changes coming to Forsaken? Who wants it to stay the same with 2 primaries and a power?
Zero. Nobody.
Nobody.
Who wants to go back to D1?
Okay. So, and you haven't played Destiny Forsaken, some people. Destiny 1 with primary weapons and then fusions and everything in second and power in third, or potentially this new system. Who's looking forward to the new system? Okay. Who misses D1 system?
We could apply to both.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
right? So people are excited about what's coming for Forsaken. Cool.
Yeah.
I actually
an explosive
thought,
slot.
Well, I thought that they might do something like that too. Yeah, like a 4th slot, because I think some of the issues that people are seeing is that...
No, you're crazy. A 4th slot?
Well, no, but...
Slot?
Well, yeah, because it's like...
No.
We'll see how the power and weapon economy works, because the ammo is still the question that they haven't yet dialed in, so we'll see what that's
all right, I got a question for you guys.
All right.
Machine guns should be gone forever.
Ooh.
Or bring machine guns back.
There you go.
That's easy.
Thank you.
Machine guns. All right, so I want to see some machine guns. Brandon, you got anything?
I really just want the tower casuals that you start with, which are the worst items you can get. But you could used to be able to shade them in Destiny 1. You can no longer shade your worst gear, which for me was a point of pride that I would – hold on. It's not a question. It's just a statement. I didn't know I had to come up with one.
That's all right.
This one's for Scott if he's listening. Shake Shack or In-N-Out? Let's hear for Shake Shack.
Shake Shack.
In-N-Out.
Oh.
Okay. In-N-Out wins. Sorry,
okay.
Scott.
Okay, wow.
Shake Shack's very good, though.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm Shake Shack. I think that's mostly it.
Yeah,
you guys have anything else you want to say?
Craig in the back there. Can we wrap it up a little early? Is that okay? We're all right. All
right,
so at the end of the show, you guys all know that we do a certain little thing, and here's how we do it. I say, all right, until next time, and then we all say it at the same time.
And then Fran
if
usually
kind of
goes like, oh, when are we doing this?
Because
is this happening?
Otherwise, he would have just shouted it and like, it wouldn't be ready.
All right, so if you guys want to join us for this one, that is totally welcome and allowed. So we're going to do it right now. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. And
wait.
See? This is exactly what happens in the studio.
You didn't tell them what we're doing if they've never heard of it.
What are we going to do? Is anybody confused? Raise your hand if you're confused.
Oh, you want to out people? Everybody's embarrassed.
You're kin.
So,
he voted for Vault twice.
Let's do this. What's the key? Yeah. Let's do this. Is we're going to say so, and then after
so
that,
until next time.
Until next time, and then we say Guardians out. Everything together.
When you see an edit before the ending of the show, this is what happens.
It is
every
about precision.
Week.
It is
not lying.
Just like the raid, it is a timepiece, and everybody must be coordinated.
Well, thank you, everybody on stage, for joining me, and everybody in the audience, and everybody online for watching this episode. Until next time,
Guardians out!
Did you point at the camera or the wide?
I just pointed straight.
You see, you have to rehearse your raid team. That's it.
Thanks, guys. That was good.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.